you know, before the viral video talks on Showbiz Blueprint 1 and 2, where I had Chris Bliss and Judson Lipley as guests, they both warned of having your social media platform in place ready to accept the onslaught of attention. Great advice. It didn't exist when Chris did his. It did exist when Judson did his. When Chris had his big breakout, Facebook wasn't alive. There was nothing like that. And a place for these people to land when they love your video is really one of the biggest pieces that you could have in place before you do this. And there are so many ways to do this. And I'll admit two things right now. It's not my forte, and it's hugely important. Why I have had guests talking about this instead of me. Social media is the new newspaper, the yellow pages, the referral network, advertising platform. It's the nosy neighbor. It's all those things rolled up into one. And missing that element is a huge mistake right now. Of course, as I'm rolling down my performing career, I'm using social media in new ventures to go forward. And I love it. Everything I've learned from talking to these people I've already put into use. And I'll be sharing those recordings that I did with Chris Bliss and Judson Lipley with you guys, and the recording that I did on social media last time with a man who plays very, very big in the world of Facebook fan pages. So you'll get all those recordings. But today, a way more remarkable opportunity happened across my life, and I got to do what I'm always pushing you guys to do, and that's to take some risks and play a little bit bigger. So at the end of a very fun mountain bike ride last week, I asked this guy who I had just met, hey, will you come on and talk to a group of clowns, jugglers, magicians, ventriloquists, and singers? And he was like, yeah, I'll do that. So I want to introduce, I got a little slides. Let me just get these slides caught up. Sorry about that. So I want to introduce John Maloney, ex-president as of a couple weeks ago, I guess, of Tumblr.com. And John, can you hear me all right? And can we hear you? Let's see.
Yeah, I got you. You guys got me okay?
Yeah. Hey, John. Welcome. Thank you so much.
Hey, Barry. How are you?
Good.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you. I had a fun time meeting you last week and then stepping off the edge to ask you to do this, and you were cool to do this and made me think you've all maybe hung out with jugglers, misfits in the past.
Yeah. No, artists and misfits. I've been surrounding myself with artists and misfits from the beginning, so I feel at home here.
You're at home. Perfect. Good stuff. Do you sing, magic, juggling, ventriloquism, any of those things?
No, wouldn't it be great? I aspire to be you guys, but not really. I mean, I think I can dabble in a lot of things, but not particularly deft in your field. But I love what you guys are doing. It's great.
Excellent. Yeah, and just a quick intro. Wincho, I know last month you stepped down from president of Tumblr to pursue some new projects. In the past, founder of Urban Baby, which, can you do a couple words on Urban Baby and how that played into what's now called social media?
Sure. So Urban Baby was, basically an early, local vertical. So there's so much in the local space, a hyper-local space on the web now, and there's been a bunch of iterations of different things, but the most current are like, there's a lot. There's so much chipping away at local and trying to solve the long tail problem on the web. But it's such a fragmented space that no one has ever cracked the code. Foursquare, which is another New York startup here, they're doing a pretty meaningful job of like creating a brand locally. But now that they've raised a lot of money and at high valuations, they're going to have to figure out how to attack local. Anyway, back in '98, I founded a company called Urban Baby. Prior to that, I was part of the team that was the founding team that incubated HotJobs.com. So while I was at Hot Jobs, we had started Hot Jobs in '95. I was one of many people that were involved with it. It got incubated out of a consulting recruiting firm that I was a partner in. And so from '95 to '98, kind of watched Hot Jobs kind of take off and go public in '98. In '98, I left to start something called Urban Baby, which was targeting kind of what you think it targets, but we did it in this much more artistic, creative way where we were trying to speak to new parents who live down in the urban markets in a very sophisticated and kind of creative way versus the pink and blue that way people have been and companies have been speaking to them for a long time. So we focused on kind of urban parents and kind of interesting community and did some pretty pioneering stuff. And so Urban Baby was a 98, 99, those were great years for the web, right? It was early, the money was flowing in the streets, and it was to do a startup was relatively easy. And then nuclear winter came in 2000. So Urban Baby, somehow we navigated through the nuclear winter. Urban Baby ended up getting acquired in 2006 by CNET. Mm-hmm. It's now part of CBS because CBS acquired CNET. And so that business, which I had founded with my wife, actually, who was a very talented editor and kind of operator. And so she and I ran it together for, you know, 7 years or so. And then it got acquired, which was a positive, you know, end result for it.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, anyone who puts 7 years into the baby space, you know, you deserve a positive ending. That's a long time to focus on kind of new mothers. But I digress. So in 2007, you want me to kind of chronologically, you know, tell the next phase?
It's interesting in that I want to really just show how the social aspect and you listening to the audience really drove it and where it took it.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we got some things right back in 98 with focused on kind of an affinity audience, right? I mean, very kind of it's an interesting kind of targeted audience to reach, and if you speak to them in a very sophisticated way. So it was a blend of different things, too. We were pushing out daily local emails with kind of local kind of tidbits and things to do, as well as just kind of quirky stuff, offbeat stuff. And then we were pushing. There were message boards basically, and they were very provocative in their day. They still are because they were anonymous on the front end, required registration on the back end.
Mm.
I don't know that I would do that in 2012.
Right.
But in 98, it was magic because these women were going through all these other things around this new baby in their life, their husbands, where the kids are going to school, you know, how it disrupts your life in this way. It became this like hotbed of gossip and kind of interesting exchange. So the company was actually making money through the daily email publishing. The message boards were really where the most interesting shit was going on.
Gotcha.
And so I'll quickly say the interesting part of that was like in 2002, Urban Baby had been around 5 years already, a complicated 5 years, but 5 years. And in 2002, I met this young guy who was a 15-year-old high school dropout from a school in New York called Bronx Science, which is a gifted kind of tech school. And he had dropped out as a sophomore. It turned out to be David Karp, who was the founder of Tumblr. So David worked for me from the age of 15 to 19. So for about 4 years, we worked together. He became my head of product because I met him. I had a small project for him. Within hours, I realized, wow, this is a special talent, and he's got real product chops and kind of, in spite of being 15 years old and living at home with his mother. So he worked for me for 4 years, and then Urban Baby got acquired, and he and I reconnected to build Tumblr. But I'll stop talking now for a minute.
Interesting. Well, what a great, to find a kid at 15 and have the intuition that this is something that needs to stick around in your life.
That may harken back to, so I'll dial it back a little bit further. You asked me before whether whether I had any of these talents. I mean, my talent has always been kind of like identifying talent. So I went to film school. I thought I was going to go and make films and be an executive and a producer in Hollywood and maybe write some of these things, et cetera. So actually the first phase of my career, I went through the agency training program. I worked for, dialing back, when I was 18, I got my first real job. It was an intern at King World Productions, which was a television syndication company here in New York.
Mm.
I talked my way into an internship. They offered me a job at 18. I said, okay, I'm going to drop out of school. So I dropped out of school. I started working. So I've been working pretty much, you know, and being entrepreneurial since I was a kid.
But
I ended up going to film school after King World went public. I went back to school, graduated from school, became Ari Emanuel's assistant in the agency training program of Endeavor. So Crazy Ari from Entourage, I was Gay Lloyd, his assistant in the show, right? And that was my world for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And so I spent 2 years as his assistant, and I bring it up, I don't know why I bring it up. I bring it up only because, like, my gifts have always been, one of my gifts has been identifying talent early, and just having a sense for that. And so I guess that came into play with David, and then I treated him well, and we had a good relationship at Urban Baby. And so when Tumblr started to emerge as an interesting product and platform, and I was nearby, I helped him raise his first round of capital, and then I came in to basically, David is, these product guys were building these networks and these services, they're like modern day artists. They really are. And so my vision was always, let me free up the artist to focus on product, and I'll deal with the business stuff. And so, you know, that's what I did. And so for 4.5 years at Tumblr, Tumblr is now a huge company. It's a big business. It's a big company. It's a massive service. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't always this way. For 4 years, we kept that team incredibly small, 12 people for 3 years, 15 people for 4 years. But it was the right mix. It was just amazing, talented young product artists that were fearless and could ship product every single day. So I kept the investors happy and calm. And I eventually had a lot of investors because we raised $120 million so far for Tumblr.
Yeah.
The art then was really, okay, how can I keep this little team of these amazing, there was this huge delta, by the way, between age of me and then everybody else, like 20 years, right? Because these are all like 20-somethings. David was 19, 20 at the time.
Incredible.
And these other guys, everybody else in the room was early 20s. And me, I'm 49. But I think like I'm 20. Long story short, we created magic for 4 years there because we kept this team incredibly small. We built what turned out to be a really important platform and service and network that now gets 150,000 new subscribers every single day from all over the world.
Mm.
That number was 100,000 6 months ago, right?
Yeah.
So it is Tumblr self-propagating. And I can get into why that is, and I'll stop talking for a second and hear if you've got any questions.
Wow. Well, you know, one of the articles I read when you had stepped down as president, the writer had put the headline, I think, Adult Supervision Leaves Tumblr. So that's literally how they saw you, I mean, holding that piece of it together.
Yeah, certainly for the early years because I was the only business guy.
Yeah.
You know, in the past year, I hired 80 people. I brought in a head of finance. I brought in a head of legal. We brought in a sales team. So I brought in specialists and people with experience. And so as I brought in those people, and as David, you know, David has, he's an incredible, everyone in the world will know David Karp's name someday, I truly believe, because he's truly a massively gifted guy who sees around the corner. Around the corner of how these networks should be built and architected, and how the creators we built something. We were always focused on the creators, right? People who the creative community. We wanted people to come and build an identity, an expression, and truly be creative on this platform in a positive way, based on the feature set. We made it really hard to be an asshole on Tumblr, based on features or the lack of certain features that tend to lend themselves for people to be nasty to each other, a la YouTube comments, right?
Yep.
Look at what happens underneath a YouTube video, right? It's here. You can have this magical video, and underneath,
yep,
it just spirals to just terrible behavior.
Mm.
So we don't have comments on Tumblr. They weren't native to our thinking or our features because they just don't lend themselves to positivity. So we were always about positivity and focused on the creators. We're now focused on the marketing of Tumblr now emerges and changes like it did at Twitter of like, follow the creators, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we also want everybody to kind of, we feel like Facebook is about, Facebook is an identifier. It's like the white pages. It's infrastructure now, right? We're all there. We're all in this template. Good luck finding a really true identity and someone who has a real identity and expression on Facebook. It's very hard, right? Because it's about the hustle. It's about we all look the same and we all kind of, you know, are kind of forced into these templates. I mean, I'm not taking away from what they built because it's amazing.
Yes.
And Zuckerberg is a very talented guy that lets developers ship stuff. And so he has this hacker mentality, which is the right thing to have. That said, I think what Facebook as a social network, truth be told, we're not supposed to have hundreds of friends. It just doesn't work that way.
Interesting.
So Facebook kind of rewards the hustlers who were always really popular and had a lot of friends. Anyway, what they built is impressive and important, but it's an infrastructure play now versus Tumblr is something completely different. Tumblr is about identity and expression and media consumption. So I love juggling. I love, you know, magicians. So I find them on Tumblr. And so we share a passion. We find each other on Tumblr, and we follow each other because the social network emerges out of around content, around like-mindedness and stuff we care about. So you and I would get to know each other by following each other on Tumblr because here's a place where I curate and kind of or kind of express who I am based on the different stuff that I post. And it's probably going to resonate with you because you and I like the same stuff. Next thing you know, we know each other through this content. And this amazing relationship emerges where, and I can't tell you how many times over the years it's happened, where I follow someone in Berlin and I've never met the guy, but I feel like I have this, you know him so well. And then I meet him in person and be like, dude, I feel like I know you.
Right.
I do know you. But so it's a pretty magical dynamics in play there, where it's a social network that emerges out of content shared, you know, shared like-minded interests and content that we both care about or things we both care about. It's less about your friends and your family, right?
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's more about you need an identity that you're proud of on the web that kind of speaks to who you are or speaks to kind of the stuff you care about or your business. And that's why it's important. And it's this really elegant kind of easy follower model where I can reblog, you know, I can either follow you or if you post something that I really like, I can reblog it and bring it over to my blog.
Gotcha.
But I'm going to be really careful with what I bring over to my blog because that's my identity, right?
So, sure, exactly.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'll stop talking for a second.
Well, no, it's good stuff. Thank you. So Tumblr has this whole different look and feel and mission statement than Facebook. Do you know any other sites that are doing it right in a way, not just sticking you with some template? I remember we had talked for a second the other day about MySpace and how that, you know, turned into a big vomit pile with too much freedom.
Yeah, that was it. I think that's fair. I think what we did different, MySpace got some things right. If you think about MySpace's business model, its mission statement and what they were trying to do is it was about identity and expression, right? The problem was the bar was set so low from the beginning because of how the MySpace team, you know, designed it, and because of how they polluted it so early with like just trying to monetize it any possible way they could. It just took away from the experience, and so it just turned into a sewer, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
Everyone left, and then Facebook emerged, and everyone left for Facebook. They were two totally different things, and so
yeah.
MySpace actually got some things right, but they didn't execute as well as they should have on the product side.
Absolutely.
So others that are getting it right, I mean, it depends on what it is, you know?
Yeah.
There's
a lot of its, right?
I mean, tell me what you guys are. What are you guys
doing? Sure, in fact.
I mean, we're
yeah, that would lead into this. Good. You know, these guys are entertainers, you know, in this group, mostly working festivals, corporate events, cruise ships. How do you see them being able to leverage social media? What's an inside track we could play with in that?
Well, do they have blogs? Does this audience have blogs? Do you guys have a place other than Facebook and Twitter? What presence do you have? Just an individual website?
Yeah.
If you have an individual website, Tumblr almost, and I'm not here to oversell Tumblr,
sure.
I'm just going to tell you, right? So why have a website where you're forcing people to come and, like, go to your website when you can build, when there's a platforms like Tumblr out there that allow you to fully customize it so it looks like it's your website. You can even use a custom domain. Like, we don't even force you to use, like, a subdomain on Tumblr, right? So you can build this thing from scratch, make it look like your site, but yet you're sitting inside of a network of 75, whatever the number is now, 75 million,
yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Reaching 200 million? Like, why have a site over there that I have to go and find, and you have to find a way to get me to go to it, either linking off from something you do on Twitter or Facebook? Why not build on inside a network that already exists of 75 million with functionality like reblog and just the ability, like, inside this network to kind of so easily share? And that's how amazing stuff happens, right? Because you're already inside a network that has hundreds of millions of visitors and 75 million subscribers. And so it's all about posting good stuff. So
yeah.
If you have a blog and you're posting, like, really pretty great stuff and somebody discovers it, you don't have to have millions of followers on Tumblr. But if you have a couple of amazing Tumblr users that have big followings,
yeah, yeah.
And they suddenly discover you and you post great stuff, if you put great stuff into the system, people are going to discover you organically, and that's the best those are the best, that's the best audience, right? Is the people that are in it for kind of like, it's earned, you've earned it.
Interesting.
So I think it's important to kind of think about that. Like if you guys have sites right now, then that's fine and you want to hold on to them, but you better have a blog. And mm-hmm. if you're going to have a blog, use a platform like Tumblr that has yeah. this massive audience that can find your content easier. And you guys, what you also should do is, if you open a Tumblr, as you should then start to follow other people that are likely going to share the same interests, that are likely going to reblog your stuff or help get the message out on something that you're doing.
Jeez. Beautiful. Oh, yeah, I'm just surfing around Tumblr on our screen share here, and it's remarkable. I mean, just looking up performers and finding out who's doing this. And Tumblr...
Barry, I meant to look before I got on this call. Like, is there a category, do we have like a discoverability around like jugglers and performers like that? We probably don't. Tumblr probably doesn't yet. I mean, it's hard to kind of figure out the best way to kind of bubble up the amazingness that's inside Tumblr, because frankly, there's just so much of it,
yeah.
right? There's 75 million blogs, and there's magical stuff happening all over the place. So how do you bubble up the best stuff? We try very hard, and there's a big team that does it in different ways. But I'm trying to think, like, what did you discover on Tumblr? What surprised you? Were there people that you knew that are using the platform?
Yeah,
or?
I just popped into artists because I thought that was a good place to at least start looking around. And yeah, running around here, I see some aerial artists, I see some jugglers, and you know, I guess maybe people have come up with playing with that.
Yeah, so what I would do, if you guys don't have a Tumblr, I would seriously consider it if you haven't put a lot of money or time into your site, then I think it's a no-brainer to really think about, all right, why don't I just move it over here into this network? I can customize. There's all these different themes and kind of you can make it look and feel any way you want.
Yeah, they sure
and
do.
Either you can do that on your own. It's not that hard, or you can find cheap labor to help you. And then you're inside the network, right? And then you start to follow a couple of the other people, and next thing you know, there's a whole bunch of jugglers following each other, and this kind of interesting ecosystem kind of develop out of it where, you know, everyone's kind of being supportive and kind of helping get the word out. So,
it's hilarious. I'm scanning down one and looking, and what's missing are rude comments. It's just so funny you mentioned that as one of the things you guys really wanted to stay away from. And
yeah, I mean, it's you know, those are product decisions. You can make product decisions that kind of architect around positivity, and that was really important to us, for sure. It paid off. It paid off.
Beautiful. So, let's see, failures. I just wanted to kind of see.
What else are you guys using? What is every, I'd love to, are we?
Yeah, raise hands. Raise hands. Somebody has something they want to go one-on-one with John and ask him something about. This kind of social platform. My understanding is, and I think you did it on your blog, which I looked up, john.io, you can actually grab your Tumblr content and just have that sitting at a domain or nested within your website. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I did it myself. David does it himself. Like we kind of believe in the openness of it and not
yeah.
forcing you into the system unless you want to be in the system,
that's
right?
That's beautiful.
That's a product decision that we want it to be as fully customized a platform. You can even take out the follow me on Tumblr buttons if you really want it. I don't suggest you do that, but you can to make it look like purely like a website.
Right, exactly.
So there's thousands of themes. It's pretty easy to do, even for the non-technical. And there's a lot of people out there that know how to build these things pretty easily and pretty lightweight without spending much money.
Excellent.
What other platforms are you guys using? What else are you guys using? Anyway.
Here's one more person. Go ahead.
We got a question here. I think, yeah, oh. Dale, you're on.
Hey, my name's Dale. I'm actually a Tumblr lover. I actually like you guys because it's so easy for me to upload, like, photos for my phone.
Awesome.
Site.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I love about it. It's just click, doom, and it's loaded.
Mm.
And a couple little tags for a live show, and it's up and present.
Do you have that link back to a website,
Dale?
You could actually put links. I'm just actually, while I'm talking now, just posting a new one, some chalk art that the neighbor kid did on my sidewalk.
Gotcha.
So nice.
It is fun compared to, like, WordPress because it's kind of a simple form. It's kind of a fun blog, not like Facebook. Facebook is very intensive. Even, what was the other one? MySpace seemed to be intensive. But Tumblr is kind of just easy. It's fill out the form, boom, 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 and it's, you know, see what other cool people are doing.
Interesting.
So,
yes, yes, thanks for that, Dale. That's awesome. You seem to really get it. I just want to make one thing really clear, right? So when we launched Tumblr, it was about the platform, right? It was like, okay, we want this really ease of use, elegant, easy to use kind of mixed media blogging platform. I want to post a quick video. I want to post a quick song. I want to post a quick photo. What we weren't architecting there was the emergence of the social network and kind of the follower model, right? So that came about 6 months later, 5 months later. So we realized very quickly. And the interesting thing is, before Twitter was doing retweets, before Facebook was doing likes, we originated all that. That all came out of this little team at Tumblr, the like concept, the reblog or retweet concept. So that part to me is amazing, right? That this little team of ours, we did all that. Anyway, so Tumblr is really a dual network. It's A, the platform, ease of use, elegant, simple blogging platform, lets you do anything you want, fully customize it. And then there's Tumblr, the media consumption network, and the ability to kind of follow people around, the stuff that you care about, and easily share this stuff across the network. So it's really a two-pronged company and platform.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks, Dale, for that. Someone else got it? I see another hand.
Yeah, Dale, yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Ramon, you're on now.
Hi, I have a question. I get once a visit card from somebody, and that was somebody who has a small business and uses Tumblr really as a website also. So, and it was very easy to use also when you watch this on your phone. You know, it was very easy to use. I was wondering, do you always need in your domain name .tumblr.com?
No.
Or is there a way to put it on your own domain also?
Totally. You can use a custom domain. You could use whatever domain you want. So, no, you don't have to use kind of Tumblr subdomains. You can. So, yeah, it's really pretty simple.
You guys,
you can customize that on the blog.
What I have on the screen right now is john.io, Indian Ocean, he was telling us the other day. He found a place where John, the extension, wasn't taken, so he got this one. And, yeah, this is a Tumblr page and sitting right at his own domain. So, yeah, interesting to put.
So this is perfect.
Yeah, this is great. This is really
I thought it was so cool that I can own a John, you know, John domain name, so regardless of whether it was john.io.
Yeah, right. John.com is gone. Yeah, well, that's funny. Well,
cool.
Good. Yeah,
John.com is long gone.
Long gone, yeah. So you've talked about strokes of genius that you've seen in social media, Tumblr being one of them, certainly, and also giving kudos to the Facebooks and MySpace for their time and place. Tumblr really seems like a solid piece. I know you're not here to talk about that. It means nothing to you. But do you see any other strokes of genius that we could use as entertainers that people have used to really build big followings and followings that count, not just friends like you were saying, but as fans of our shows?
Yeah, no, I think these visual mediums, right, and these visual platforms like Tumblr just lend itself so well to kind of what you guys are doing. And I'd be putting so much emphasis on you gotta be on Facebook, of course, right? That's where the masses are. You have to be there.
Yeah.
But I think the visceral and the visual aspects of what you guys do lend itself much better to these other platforms like Tumblr and Instagram and whatever else than it does to kind of, in the stream of the limited, stream that Twitter is a magical place, right? And it's incredibly important. You guys all need to be there, of course. I'm there all day long, totally addicted. But it has its product limitations, especially, as it relates to the visual aspects of what you guys do. Tumblr, Instagram, the video stuff is interesting, right? I think YouTube is amazing for what they've built, and it functions incredibly well. But from, a product experience, do I think they've cracked the code? No. They've cracked the code in the algorithms. They know exactly, they know if I go to Juggler once, they're going to bubble up amazing stuff every time I go there. So they've done a lot of stuff right, and their business model is, amazing, right? But I think the user experience can be better, and I think there's people working on that. There's a new network, Viddy, V-I-D-D-Y, that I'm pretty impressed with. And there's a bunch of others. So, you know, this game is not, these mega networks, you know, there's 20-something right now building the next magical network, and hopefully I'm an angel investor in it, but I don't know what that is yet. But
right.
There's a lot, you know, there's every couple of months, there's something pretty special shipped out there that you guys should all be paying close attention to the stuff that's emerging. But the video is going to get really, really interesting now, so, and it'll get much... it'll be much cleaner. The experience will be much cleaner, and there's a lot of there's some really great, talented people working on that. Viddy is one again, so you guys may want to take a look at that. But I would lend again. You got to be on Facebook. You got to be on Twitter. Beyond that, think about the visual. Think about the visual of what you guys do. Because if you get inside a network that lends itself to the visual and is easy to share, a la Tumblr. Put an amazing juggling trip, up on your blog on Tumblr, and all it takes is one interesting person that has a bunch of followers to kind of like it and reblog it, and next thing you know, you got, cool, good stuff is happening.
This is really fun. I just did a little search on Tumblr for corporate entertainment, which a lot of us live in that world, and yeah, just some things came up. One guy, the top four, is a guy who did this program recently. He's obviously very into this, or it looks like other people are posting this about him, so
yeah.
On My Web Gossip. Yeah, this is fantastic. So a good place to play on. So what is social media replaced? John will wind you up here, but what's it replaced, and what does it stand to replace in the future?
Social media. I tell you, it's blowing everything up, right? I mean, I think it's disrupting everything. Everything's being disrupted, and what's next? I mean, there's so many. You mean as it relates directly to kind of social media and entertainment, or
just in our world, maybe the way we've done things forever, and you know, it's already taken over some things. You see anything else that it's standing to take over?
Big things like education is going to be completely blown up. Mm. You know, there's people trying to build amazing education platforms and totally reinvent education, healthcare. You know, think about a vertical, and
yeah.
There are a ton of startups attacking it, trying to reinvent it. So I'm sure there's someone, that's looking at your space, kind of entertainment and bookings and things like that, and people are probably doing very disruptive things or trying to build stuff. And if I were you guys, you know, you're living inside that world, that stuff should come from you guys. So I'm sure you guys have every one of you do multiple projects and have multiple things going on, and probably a couple of you are building, you know, social media platforms around this stuff. But it's an amazing time. It's so different than 98 when I was trying to get Urban Baby off the ground. These things were incredibly expensive and complicated to figure out how to build. Now they're not. They're cheap. And they're in the cloud, and you'd be amazed at how much you can get done without having to spend a lot of money. So,
we didn't talk about this when we were together, but I've been to a lot of the TED events. It seems like something you would enjoy being at. Have you been
TED?
TED conferences?
Brilliant, right? Yeah. Oh, the TED's amazing. The TED stuff is amazing. Every day I'm looking at a TED video.
Nice. Well, they came up with this thing that really talked about what you just said, this TED Ed. This is their new thing with lessons. Any of us could put up lessons, and teachers can come in here and customize the quizzes that come after the lessons. I mean, this TED Ed thing is exactly what you just nailed, and I've been looking at this a lot.
I think the TED stuff is brilliant. I also think the crowd, the crowdsource funding stuff, the Kickstarter guys are my pals. They're here in New York. You know, I'm lucky. Like, the New York tech startup scene is amazing. There's Tumblr, there's Foursquare, there's Etsy, there's Kickstarter. But I think the opportunities for you guys to raise money to kind of do interesting things that you want to do using platforms like Kickstarter is, I'm sure a bunch of you have used Kickstarter or are experimenting with it, and you should be. Because crowdsourcing, around this type of stuff, it's amazing what it's done. I mean, I think a third of the films at Sundance were Kickstarter funded.
Oh.
I don't know if it was a third, maybe a quarter, but it was like an amazing amount. And that company didn't exist a couple of years ago, right? And it just allows creatives and creators and performers like you guys to raise capital. And this really, and right now, and the laws may change around it, by the way, so I'd get moving on it because I think the government's trying to figure out how to kind of, wrap their arms around, crowdsource fundraising.
And crowdsourcing,
right now it's exploding.
Yeah, we have dealt with outsourcing in this program, and we had a guest on right before you that talked about YouTube, and we talked about how, when I was early and when this guy was early in her career, we had to wait for, Johnny Carson to give us the nod. That's gone. I mean, that excuse is over. Even just being able to put
Absolutely,
something on.
Man.
Yeah, and, something I didn't say when Sean was on before, but I'll say it here with you because I want folks to hear it, and I think you may have some good comments about it. In a way, it has removed one of the great excuses that people have used for years to play small. That excuse doesn't exist anymore, that I have to wait for someone big to give me the nod. We can do this ourselves.
No. It boils down to, just do great stuff and put it out there inside these networks, and people are going to discover it. And, if it's great, then people will discover it, and it can take flight. It used to be so hard in the music world and the entertainment world. And,
yeah.
There were all these old ways of trying to get discovered. That those days are gone.
Yeah, exactly. And boy, I know I'm sorry if that kills an excuse that anybody here used to hold on to. But let's not do that anymore. The technology all exists to be your own Tonight Show host right now, and give yourself the nod.
Very
true. And yeah, boy, I loved having a little tour around Tumblr with the president of it. Thanks so much. I didn't even know we were going to play with that. And I just love it. So any other questions for John? Just pop your hand up if you do. I want to thank him for his time. I also want to let you guys interact. No? Playing shy, maybe you got it all out. And thank you, John.
Happy to do it. It's fun. Good luck, you guys. Be fearless. And I would say, get inside these networks.
Be fearless. Great, great parting word. Thanks so much. I really appreciate your time, John, and can't wait to see you on the next mountain bike and paddleboard trip we get to do.
Sounds good. Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye.